Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Bite Electric smart home products make everyday living simply smarter. Add color to your home's exterior with LED outdoor string lights. They're perfect for holidays or get-togethers, and they can be scheduled to automatically turn on or off. View our entire selection of Fight Electric smart home products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for, once again this evening, back on an evening schedule. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna, country Matt Kemp, and bellied up to the bar is a man who may change his allegiance from Alabama to Bowling Green State University. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Just call me Urban Fred.
I don't know if we want to go there.
Don't ever do that.
Fred, I should mention a couple of things. Number one, if you've listened to the show the last several weeks and we've been doing our big conference previews, you know that tonight we're going to focus in on the group of five teams and the independents, as they were really only one, I guess, of those really to speak of. But Freddie is representing our local group of five with his Western Kentucky's Hilltoppers.
Let's go Toppers. Come on.
T-shirt on tonight. And this is a game week for them.
Yes.
They have a game. Is that game Saturday night?
It's Saturday at 6, I believe.
Okay. Yep.
Sam Houston State.
So it's a game week for them. My my wife's nephew is one of the student managers for them. So game week for him. I'm sure that they are busy with preparation, and we hope that they have a good season. Who knows? We may talk about Western a little bit.
You know, we have zero more Saturdays until college football.
That is true.
You will not wake up for a Saturday, at least until what, late January?
Yes.
Without college football on?
Yes.
So be thankful.
Yes. We've made it.
Yeah, we have definitely made it.
It's officially game week.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, after we talk about our group of five prognostications, we're going to talk about some actual games this weekend that we can dig into and
gamble on
and make our first, we'll have our first gambling, pick segment of the season. And I cannot wait for that. as always, we are on social media. Had a nice picture of Freddie on, Facebook last week and his, SEC and Alabama regalia.
regalia.
So you can find us on Twitter and on Facebook.
I thought that was a boat race.
That's a regatta, too.
Same.
That's a
potato,
regatta.
Tomato.
If you enjoy the show and you know somebody, especially as we ramp up into college football, if you know somebody that enjoys college football and you enjoy the show, please let them know about us and that they can find us wherever they find their favorite podcast.
I need to talk about this for a second. What is this, Fred?
This is
that Beavis and Butthead? What is it?
That's a soccer goal, and that's a soccer goal.
So what's the scribbling in there?
I was showing Clayton what a left half area covers.
That looks like you just covered your eyes, put a pen on the paper, and just started drawing circles.
Well, I was going over it several times with him. But, yeah, that's his sector. That's his area he needs to cover. Instead of running all over the damn field getting tired.
I'm not sure Goodwill Hunting could understand that.
I had to rip it out of my notebook. Tana's like, what the hell is that? Tornado in Norman.
Before we get started tonight, Fred, you did just spend your first real weekend as a travel soccer dad.
Oh, mercy.
That's why I mentioned Bowling Green State. His son had a tournament there this weekend. Do you have any pearls of wisdom or things you want to talk about relative to that event?
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, just I did it all my life, and I've now learned to just smile and say, have fun out there, buddy.
Is that what you learned? Yeah. I got something completely different from you.
I know. My little boy's 9, so he's one of the younger ones on the team. But it's all a learning experience, and the kids were great. The games were great. They were spread out. Great fields. It was a lot of fun, but. It's kind of a situation where you kind of learn who the tough ones are and who the ones that you got to work with are a little bit once they play a few games, two games in one day, you know.
That's a lot for a 9-year-old.
With a break in the middle and they want to run around the hotel, you know, and then you go back to the game after lunch. So anyways, it's just learning first tourney. Didn't do bad, but didn't win our division, but we got a lot of life lessons.
Well, and isn't that what's most important?
That is what's most important. Not winning.
If you ain't first, you're last.
So let's just dive right in. As we said at the top of the show, this is officially a game week. We've gone through all of our big conference previews. All that's left now are the Power Fives. And we thought, since we don't really have a template to follow like we did for the other leagues with the Phil Steele prognostications.
Phil didn't do his group of five?
I couldn't find one that...
I think he probably did conferences.
Yeah, right. I get it.
I'm not going to go through and break down.
Yeah, we're
going to
do our own, buddy. We're going to do our own. So, give you some teams that we like.
Rather than that, we decided that we would just focus on a few teams that we think are the favorites or have the potential to make the college football playoff as a group of five team. And, I know that you guys have spent some time breaking this stuff down, coming up with some ideas. I have a list myself that I've gleaned from a couple of different sites just to kind of, and I'm sure you won't miss any of these teams, but just in case. And I just thought kind of I'd open it up right off the get-go. Tuna, who's the first team that when you started breaking this down, who's the first team that really stood out to you as this? Is it, you know, whether it's a new team or one that maybe was up there last year, who's the first team that you saw that jumped off the page as one of these group of five teams that could make a national push?
All right. So I know we talked about like just going through and picking 10 teams. When I went through and kind of looked through and got down in the weeds, I think I narrowed it down to seven teams. Mm-hmm. I think that's basically our number. One of these seven, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with one that I have on my list that I think they're in that top tier, and that is, I'm going with Tulane.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, they're well coached. Everybody knows how I feel about Summerall. Yeah. They got Jake Ratzliff in, the quarterback from BYU. So they have a guy under center now that you can be excited about. And you, I know they lost their star running back, but Arnold Barnes III is back, and he carried a lot. I think he had like 500 yards last year.
Yeah, tough. They're a tough, tough team.
Yeah,
so, battle tested.
Absolutely. I know Darian Mintz is out, but I think Jake Ratzlaff's going to come in and really play well under Summerall. And we know that offensive line's going to be good.
Yeah.
They got a lot of guys back there.
Speaking of my shirt, did you know who transferred over there? TJ Finley's over there.
Yeah, he is.
From Western.
Yeah. I think he was probably not happy to see Jake Ratzlaff come in.
He's definitely the backup.
Probably
for
not.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that is interesting that he's over there waiting in the wings.
Uh-huh. And I don't even know if he's number two. Brendan Sullivan's back this year also.
That could be right.
So he's sitting there. I don't know. There's a lot of guys back from this team last year. The big flashy names that everybody grew to love last year, they're gone. But the meat and potatoes of this team was good last year. Now, last year, they kind of quit at the end of the season.
Yeah,
they got punched in the mouth by Memphis and Army consecutively.
Yep.
And they didn't look like the same team that they did early. So
I remember that Army game. They got thoroughly throttled.
They just to throw this out there at you, tune as you're going on. They've won the last 3 years. They won 32 games. That is the best of any Group of Five team.
That's a combination of Willie Fritz and Summerall.
That's right. Yeah.
So this schedule. You look at it, I guess.
That's what worries me a little bit.
They do play Duke, so they get a shot at Mensa, who will be quarterback.
And who will be quarterback. I think their schedule's harder than last year.
That game is in New Orleans, so at least they got that. Not that Duke's a scary home field environment.
No,
but still,
but
like
Duke,
having your home crowd there is nice.
And you know, I kind of think Duke's going to a bowl game this year, so I think that's going to be a tough game.
And I think... Yeah, go ahead.
They open the seed. Like, I don't understand this game from a Northwestern perspective.
Yeah.
Why would Northwestern schedule a game, their opening game, at Tulane? Like, why would you do that?
I don't know. I'm calling Villanova somebody. I'm
like, why would you do
UMass.
That?
I'd be like, hey, DuPaul, you guys got a football team yet? Like,
like. Call Indiana's athletic director and learn how to schedule your first three games.
I think we're going to go with Kent State tonight, Saturday.
That is – I was shocked. I just pulled up that –
That's a true road game too, man.
Yeah.
Don't forget they play Ole Miss too.
Well, that's what I was getting to get to. With this schedule, like, there's three games on here. I think for them to get in the playoff, they have to win two of these three.
Right.
They have to beat Duke. They have to beat Northwestern. Obviously, losing to Ole Miss is not going to hurt them.
It's not going to hurt you. Right.
And then they got to run through this. And then when you look at their conference
schedule. Their conference schedule is what's tougher than last year, in my opinion.
At Memphis.
Yeah.
This has got to be a revenge game, and that's going to be tough. And that's in late, early November. November 7th is when that game is.
Right.
So that is – you got to get over that hump, and then going to Texas San Antonio, that's always chippy. They get Army and East Carolina at home.
Right.
So I think there's a path here just because the schedule lines up for it, and if they can knock off that Northwestern and Duke, they get on the radar early.
Yeah.
And
key
to getting in these
polls
like
that. And they've done
that
before.
Is to get in there early.
Right.
And then it's harder to fall down.
It's harder to fall. You're
yeah,
right.
When you are beating up on the East Carolinas and Temples of the world,
right.
It's harder to move up after you've already been down.
And
that's
I think
right.
Tulane already has America's attention from the last 3 years.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, people are like, if you say Tulane's name, the average fan's like, oh, they're pretty good, aren't they? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you go. Willie Fritz did a phenomenal job there. Obviously, he got that.
What was
head
that bowl game that
Houston.
They won? That was such a great game 2 years ago, not last year.
Oh,
but
that was,
remember they beat somebody, and we don't have to look it up. But it was a wasn't it on a it was New Year's Day game, I think.
Yeah.
And they fought like hell and won. That really caught my eye.
I'm almost wanting to say it was a Big 12 team.
It was at Iowa State or something.
I don't remember.
Anyways. Yeah, they've definitely gained the national spotlight a little bit.
definitely.
I do. So. The only thing with them is just that schedule with me, and it's not really the – I know Ole Miss will be a toughie, and maybe Duke will be a tight one, but I just noticed their schedule last year, their conference schedule, and this one, it seems this one's a little tougher.
Yeah, it was backloaded last year a little bit, yeah. But conference-wise. But they did play tough non-con games. But regardless, if you can't beat Northwestern and Duke, you have no business in the playoffs.
That's
so
right.
So win those
good
games,
call.
And then you're going to have a shot.
Yep.
So
and again, Northwestern, what are you doing? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, not
but
smart.
I mean, you know, I guess kudos to them for scheduling a game like that, but it doesn't make any sense. When you're a team like a Northwestern, and because Northwestern is very much in a position that Indiana a lot of times has been in, you need to schedule yourself as many quote-unquote guaranteed wins as possible. And this is very far from a – and what a – I mean, you can really set the tone for – now, theoretically, if they came out and won that game, what a tremendous tone setter that would be. But chances are they're not going to, and yeah. That could really kind of put a kibosh on your team's confidence and stuff before they even get out of the starting gate. You know what I mean? That's tough.
Mean, everything you just said about Northwestern, I'm saying the same thing about Duke. You know, now granted, the conference is not as tough.
No, you're right, but why?
But it's weird that Duke schedules for a true road game again. Northwestern and Duke are both going down there to Tulane to play true road games.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I mean, good for them. I'm glad they're doing I like seeing this. I wish more teams did it.
Right.
But it's a smart move not to.
Well, and down the line, they may have to.
Yeah.
From a
viewing standpoint,
more important.
I'm thrilled that those games are happening.
Absolutely. As a fan, I love it. But.
Yeah. Like, that's a good – like, I will try to watch – and I would never try to watch Northwestern play. But I'll try to watch that first game if I can.
There's so much going on that first day. Like
that's
going
to
be.
Tuna, you need to get you a green wave. You need to get you a green and blue, a dark green and blue.
I got a baby blue Tulane t-shirt, but I washed it one time and it shrunk up. Now it's a belly shirt. So I don't really look good in belly shirts. So I don't wear it really much.
I remember that shirt.
Yeah.
I remember that shirt.
So, yeah, I think I wore it like once and then washed it and never again. Which kind of sucks because it was like a $35 shirt. So
was it a home field?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
They've got a few colors. Some of them are great, but a few colors, they just shrink up or they don't fit right. I don't know. It's weird.
My next-door neighbor went to Tulane. I'm just going to bum one from him.
There you go. I think a Tulane sweatshirt might be the way to go.
Yeah.
You always got wiggle room in a sweatshirt.
Yep. That sounds good. Fred, I'll go to you for team number two.
Well, just to keep it interesting, I think this is really funny because I'm going to tell you right now, if Tuna and I listed our seven teams, we would have every one of them equal. We would have my seven would match your seven. I guarantee it. As I've looked on here and started, that can make it.
We'll find
that
out.
That can make it.
We'll find out.
And we'll find out, which is going to be funny. But and I could jump on this team. They were in it last year, but we're not going to go there yet. I'm going to let Tuna go on that one, and I'm going to go to one of my favorite teams that he knows that I'm high on, and I was high on them last year. I think we're doing a carbon copy here.
Yeah.
But the reason that I had to go on this team is, and I'll tell you why, is Memphis.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're on there.
Memphis. The one thing that I like about Memphis, I know they got Brandon Lewis back, quarterback. I know you love the running back, even though they lost a big running back. I mean, it seems like they always have a great running back. You know, they have that running game. But the one thing that stands out for me, and then I'll let you break them down a little bit, Tuna, is their schedule. And their schedule this year really opens up. They have Arkansas, okay? And that's not going to necessarily boost them up. I would say Arkansas is like playing Ole Miss or Duke, you know? I mean, but that's still an SEC school. They played them last. You know, they played them the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. They played them last year. Well, if yeah, I'm not mistaken, right? That's a rivalry.
It's a border war game.
Yeah,
right?
Border war game. Now they've got Arkansas, but what I love about them is they have no Army, no Tulane, and no San Antonio. And not by not having those three teams on their schedule, just what popped out to me when I was looking, I'm not saying it's an easy schedule, but I do think that they have a chance to
beat. It's easier than Tulane.
Beating Arkansas is not going to boost you up into the top 25, maybe, but they are a team that does play well. They got a good football program, and I think that they're always receiving votes. I think if they could crack in there and then maybe try to go undefeated, that something could happen. I think they have a shot at making it? Yes. But do I think they will? No. But I know you've got probably better breakdown than I do on them. Throw it out there.
Well, like you mentioned Brendan Lewis. Now, let's
not saying he's great.
No, let's not forget, like, he was out at Colorado before Shadur got there. And then, the Deion Sanders and all that. And then he ended up going to, he was at Nevada last year.
Nevada, yeah.
And now he didn't throw the ball particularly well.
No.
At all. But I think he did run for like 1,200 yards. So this offense is going to be a little bit different look than what Ryan Silverfield has put out before.
Yeah.
But when I look at this team, I'm going to the defensive side. Mm-hmm. They've got a couple NFL standard guys playing linebacker for him. This is a really good linebacking core. William Whitlow on the defensive end. You know, I mentioned the linebackers, Sam Brunfield, Everett Rusaw, and Drew Watts. These guys, they're gamers, man. And then Fred's favorite name, Puda Walker.
Puda Walker.
Yeah, Walker Puda on the line. I think this defense at every level is very solid. They're not going to give up a lot of points. So if they can run the ball and control it, and they got a running quarterback, they're not going to ask him to throw the ball much. Right. I'm curious to see what this offense looks like, because it's going to be a little bit different than what we've seen from Memphis
in
the past.
It is.
So it's like, is he going to adjust to the personnel that he has? And
usually that running game's just running you down, wearing you down, and they always play tight D.
This is a dime store. You look at this roster, it's a dime store Jim Harbaugh team. Like, Jim Harbaugh would love to go to Memphis and coach this team. So
cheater.
Yeah. I don't know with Memphis. I'm trying to pull their schedule up right now.
I have it.
Oh, you got it up?
Yep.
Okay.
They open at home against.
You want to go through it?
They open at home against Chattanooga.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah.
Then they are at Georgia State.
Win. Yeah. Easy. Georgia State's not.
Then
good.
They play at Troy.
Tough game.
Yeah. At Troy is always tough.
Always tough.
Then they
Arkansas comes to.
They host
to. Yeah.
Gonna be a lot of Arkansas fans in Liberty Land that weekend.
That's what I liked about that, is that they are there, yes.
And then they play FAU, Florida Atlantic.
I like it. Win.
Then they host Tulsa.
Win.
Then they go to Alabama Birmingham.
Yeah.
Which I don't know much about
UAB. I really don't. They're not bad. They're not good. Is Trent Dilfer still coaching them?
No, he's gone.
He's
now,
gone.
I believe.
Okay.
Then they host South Florida.
Now that's going to be a tough game. That's going to be a tough.
Yeah, South Florida. They just throw it out there. They didn't make my list of top.
They
seven.
Did. They were eight for me.
I was kind of looking at them a little bit, but I don't know if I see it there.
No, I don't either.
So
I'm with you.
Yeah, but that's not going to be an easy.
Not
game.
An easy game. Right.
Then they're at Rice.
Yeah. Rice is not good.
Rice around.
And then they host Tulane, which is going to be a monster.
That's
going to
be a
game.
Huge game. Yeah. So far, their two biggest games. Arkansas and Tulane are both at home.
Right.
Okay.
I love their schedule.
Then they
get
go
get your tetanus shots before you go to that stadium.
Then they go to ECU.
You get a turkey leg there.
You know what? East Carolina is a team that I think is trudging up.
Yeah, they are.
They won their bowl game last year, but I But if they, like you said, if they can't beat East Carolina, then they got no business.
That's always a fun
but
environment to watch
there.
Games at.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The fans are great. The students are show out.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
East Carolina has great fans and great students, like for baseball, basketball, and football.
I will be betting East Carolina this year.
And then they close the season at home against the Midshipmen of Navy.
Well, tough game.
That's
right
very
there.
Tough game. Is that at home?
It's at Memphis.
So another home game for
yep.
them.
I know.
So they got the fans on board and the fans are showing up a little bit, yeah. I mean, that's going to be big. I feel like Arkansas is going to be a home field environment for Arkansas because it's so close.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, yeah, I like Memphis. They have a very legit shot to get in this playoff.
Yeah, I think Navy has a we'll get maybe get to them. I think they have a better team than Army this year.
I think
matter of fact they beat Army last year pretty handily. And I just think that's the one game. Well, Arkansas for sure too, but they could maybe just have one loss then. And when they get to that game, it's going to be a toughie.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This non-conference schedule is not good, except for Arkansas.
Right,
so they
right.
can't slip up in conference.
No.
Right.
There's
no,
really no,
no
room for error
yeah,
on this.
They,
Tulane
yeah.
could have a better body of work.
Exactly.
You know what I
exactly.
mean? To get them into that playoff.
But I threw them in there because – and you had them in there, right? As you're in your seven?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I mean, I think Memphis, and I had Memphis last year as my team to get in there. I know Tuna had Tulane, and that's ironic that we both have picked them two again. Now on to Tuna.
All right. I know the one, I'm not going to say it because I want to talk about this team.
Okay. I love this. We're not going after the big dogs. But
I've got James Madison.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So they're on your list also.
Oh, yeah.
This team went out and spent some money.
Yeah, they're at the top of my list, actually.
Yeah, they really went out and spent a lot of money and brought in some people. One thing that they brought in, Sluka, the kid from UNLV. Remember him?
Yes.
Matthew Sluka?
Yes.
Left UNLV because he wanted more money. Now,
that's right.
He hasn't gotten the starting job yet. I guess Alonzo Barnett's coming off of a leg injury, and they're saying that he's going to sit out this year probably. So that leaves a competition with, like, Camden Coleman and Matthew Sluka. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen here under center, but other than that, this team is pretty stacked up.
Right.
Linebacking core, again, very good. Trent Hendrick in the middle. And believe it or not, like a team like this, their size, if you look at the heights and weights of these guys, I don't know if they're kind of embellished on like the team sites, but they got some hefty boys. This is a big time, big boy football team. They really do make me very nervous. Xavier Holmes, edge rusher for him. He's a big time player, probably an NFL type prospect. I don't know. I really, this team can win. I like them.
I mean, they went 9-4 last year, which I thought was great. I'm a big believer in momentum. They won their bowl game. They beat Duke. I mean, they beat North Carolina last year, 70 to 40 years.
And
let's
keep in mind, that was the first year after most of their talent got raided to go to IU.
Right.
You look at the haul that they lost to IU and how they were able to rebuild that. And then now they went out and spent a lot of money again, and they got some – man, this is a scary team.
Dude, offensive line stout, wide receiving, like you said.
Did you say they're your number one team up
there?
They
are my number one
team.
Okay,
I can easily see that for sure. I don't know. Let me get their schedule up here.
I have it pulled up here. They open at home against Weber State,
yeah.
Then week two, obviously, they come here.
Uh-huh.
And that is, we've talked about it in the ACC preview when we talked about Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
That is a That's going to be a ball game.
Yeah, it definitely is. I hate the fact that we paid money for them. It's not that we just even scheduled them.
Right.
It's that we're giving them money to come up here and play us. So.
And then they have a bye week, and then they go on the road to Liberty.
That Liberty's going to be tough.
Always tough.
That is going to be a tough game.
I just feel like they're so much better and bigger.
I do, too. I do, too.
And here's the thing with this team. I think they're going to be, because they have depth, they're going to be so much better at the end of the year than they are early. I'm really glad Louisville's getting them in the second week.
Yeah. And I forgot to also mention
the quarterback situation is going to be iffy up there. So they may not be worked out by week two, thank God.
I think they got two all Sunbelt DBs back there. I know they got one. Mm-hmm. Even their defensive backfield is going to be good, not to mention linebacking, D-line, like Tuna said. They're kind of have depth everywhere.
Yeah, Jacob Thomas, their safety.
Yeah, that's
He's
him.
The star.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about, Jacob Thomas, yeah.
Then they host Georgia Southern and go to Georgia State in back-to-back weeks.
Right. Georgia Southern's definitely better than Georgia State.
Then they host the Ragin' Cajuns of Louisiana.
Always a good football team.
Then they host Old Dominion. Who I think they'll
No, they will win that. No. Louisiana will be a tough game.
Then they travel, Fred, to a place that you were talking about maybe getting a T-shirt for this team.
That's right.
They go to Texas State.
Texas State. That's my G.J. Kenny. Mm-hmm. Johnny knows about him. Tuna knows about him. Travis. Texas State. We will get to – I'll get to them later. They're not in my top seven, but you know I love betting them. And Texas State is going to be definitely a tough team. I mean, they lost four of their eight games by a combined 20 last year and still went to a bowl and won it. Texas State is going to be tough.
And then
they put points on the board.
The following week, they travel to Marshall.
Another good team.
Never an easy game.
I think Marshall is going to have a good year this year. They have another team that won their bowl game on momentum. I have good momentum coming into the season.
Yeah.
But, dude, that's another thing, too. Like you said, you got Louisville on there.
Washington State's on there, but they're not going to
No, they're going to beat Washington State. But Liberty's getting a little buzz, sort of. But I think they're the team.
Madison has to win out except for the Louisville game.
You better not let anybody know that Liberty's getting a buzz, because that probably breaks about 12 different rules or their honor code or something.
There's high in life, Travis.
Travis, I'm thinking that you've got to have maybe a connection to James Madison. I figure that might be one of your little group of five favorites.
Well,
there.
I mean, I just think they're – I think
– Sig went the coach there.
I think my connection there is that I'm – very impressed that with the mass exodus of obviously really high-end talent that they had,
right?
That they bounced back last year, and as Tuna said, they have put a full court press on for this year and said, we're going to put a lot of money into this football program. We're going to get it back to, or not even back, but we're going to keep it at a high level, because they expect to win down there.
Yeah, they've made a commitment to the facilities, everything. I think they've really made a commitment to football, and I like seeing that from some of these smaller schools.
Now,
Bob Chesney is doing a great job out of Holy Cross.
Yeah.
After the Marshall game, I guess probably a huge game in that league. I think it's probably – I'm assuming this is their big rival – I think I'm right about that. They host Appalachian State.
App State's going to be down this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't expect much from App State. I love App State.
Always a tough.
I think they're going through some growing pains right now. And I would, just a little prediction out there, Scott Satterfield reunites with Appalachian State next year. So I think it ends at Cincinnati, and I think he goes back home to Boone, North Carolina.
Kind of a little,
and he'll probably be great there.
Yeah, and I think they'll get right back
Scott Frost action there.
Yeah, but no Eli Drinkowitz. with them.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. That's true.
Which looks to be the brains behind that operation.
Right. And then, as you mentioned, they play home against Washington State, mm-hmm. and then end the season at Coastal Carolina.
Probably the second toughest game on the schedule is at Coastal.
Yeah, and I think they're down.
I think they're down too. Just the fact that it's a road game to end the year. Again, like I said, this team's going to be better toward the end of the year than they are early. I look for them to just run through this schedule. Yeah. I think if they're going to slip up, Liberty may be the team that they're going to slip up at.
Right,
but they have no room for error on this. You can lose to Louisville, but you have to win out everything else if you're going to make it. Right. And I think this team has the talent to absolutely do that.
Yes.
We're just going to see how they get over the quarterback woes early. Luckily, they get a bye week after the Louisville game.
Okay.
So they can kind of regroup before they go to Liberty. I don't know, man. I love this James Madison team, though. The problem is that there really is no room for error.
No.
Which I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's probably kind of a theme that runs through most of these teams, right?
Well, that's what we talked about with Tulane.
Except
their non-conference. If you can schedule a tougher non-conference, you got a little bit of room for error.
Right.
Like, you can win one of those games and then drop a conference game that you're not supposed to.
And it makes sense for those teams to, but it's going to be, this will be an interesting thing. It's going to be increasingly difficult for a team like Tulane, I think, to schedule the way that they are right now, because a Northwestern probably isn't going
to
do that.
It's already tough to schedule a Virginia. Teams like that. Because
as we've seen,
Big Ten and SEC, especially if the SEC goes to a nine-game regular season or conference season.
Right.
So you can't put these teams on there. And then, so like your ACC teams are going to get left out. Your Big 12 teams are going to get left out. It's going to be the SEC and the Big Ten playing in an echo chamber just against each other, and we won't know who's actually good and who's not.
Right.
We complained about that all summer.
Right.
But, yeah, the teams like Tulane, they're going to start playing some of these like Virginias and whatnot just because we're going to have to get teams on our schedule.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, man. It sucks the way college football is going, but you know what? The season's here, and I'm not going to worry about
any of that
bullshit. We're going to focus on the good.
That's right. That's right. We're going to talk about teams and games
from
this point on.
Yes, no more disappointing shit or saddening stuff.
Speaking of teams, who's next on the list?
Fred?
Well, I'm still going to pass this team off to Tuna because I want to talk about a different one, and this is what's so fun about all this. And this was a tough one for me to choose between, and I know that we're going to have the two teams that I wanted to choose between and the other one I'm talking about. Tuna and I will have all three of those. But I'm going to talk about a team that might be last on our list.
I know why you love this team. I already know what team it is.
If they're like my seventh team, I'm choosing Toledo.
Oh, I don't have them on the list.
Oh, damn.
I don't.
I love it.
I have Toledo on here. Not because they play Kentucky first game of the year, trust me. But I went through their schedule. I feel like they can easily win the MAC this year. They're definitely the favorite. They've got, I mean, I don't even want to name all the players, but I know, because I don't know all their names, but I know that they have a legit passing attack, an experienced offensive line, experienced defensive line. Mm. Can they do, and maybe we can look at their schedule. I know they play Washington State as well, which is hilarious.
It's bad when you like bring that up as a highlight.
But if they can win 11 games, if they can go through the schedule like we're saying, and I'm not saying we're going to beat Kentucky, Toledo, but I think if they were to beat Kentucky, the secondary's experience, Jason Candle, 10th season there. They have stability. They're always a good team, solid team. They do always try to play a couple big boys and play them tough. This is my seventh team that I think has a chance to possibly go undefeated. I do think they could beat Kentucky for sure at Kentucky.
And they have Western at home in week two.
Western at home.
That'll
in week
be a
two.
That'll be a good game.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they're going to do it, but I'm just saying that I like the way their schedule works out, and I think they can win 11 games.
Boy, if they beat...
Because if you do, then you're... Do you see anyone on that schedule that popped out at you? That's my whole thing.
This is... Right.
I know, and dude, you got to have a team from
the
action.
I'm going to tell you why I left them off the list.
Okay.
And I did. I looked at Toledo because I love the MAC as much as anybody, and I want a MAC team in the playoff.
Right.
The reality of the situation, you'll never see a MAC team in a playoff, ever. And it's because that conference, even though it looks like Toledo's better, that conference, the style of play that they play, it's chaotic.
It is.
You're not going to go through that schedule unscathed. You're going to drop a Tuesday night barner in Central Michigan. You're going to have,
Western Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's a,
I know,
that schedule,
I know.
Nobody is going to run through the MAC undefeated, ever. They're not going to have it's just, that league is just chaotic. Those guys, they're all from that same general area. A lot of these guys even played high school ball against each other.
Right.
Like, it's
true.
It's one of the most competitive leagues and one of the most fun leagues for a reason, but unfortunately, unless something just like Urban Meyer comes through again,
right.
We're not going to see a MAC team run the table.
But wouldn't it be cool?
Man, I would love to see it. But again, they're non-conference. I think even beating Kentucky, which I predicted as a 2-10 Kentucky team.
I know.
Let's say Kentucky wins 4 games. That's not going to do anything for them. Beating Miami, Ohio is going to do a lot. So they don't have the room to slip up. So
I said if they win 11 games.
Now, I love the Rockets. I couldn't put them in my tops.
I got you. And it was a tough one for me, and that's why I threw it out. I know exactly who you're picking here, and that's who you thought I was going to take right here.
Yeah, it's UNLV.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Mullen. The way that you were talking about, Dan Mullen's down there.
I know.
His wife's making out with all the players
again. I
kind of
wanted
everything's
fun. I wanted you to talk about UNLV.
What the what?
Remember
what
she used to kiss all the Florida players on the mouth before they got on the bus?
No.
This was before COVID, so I don't know when things changed. I don't know, but
I did not know that.
Yeah, so
I will take that under advisement.
Yeah,
might get put a little extra pep in those running reb steps.
Could be, man. But one thing about this team, they lost their quarterback last year. We talked about him earlier. Sluka left out.
Yeah,
Anthony Calandria came in and actually played really well. But we still have a competition because coming in from Michigan, I'm sure you Big Ten people know Alex Orji.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
Is he on your name team? Is he on your all name team? I'm kidding.
He could be.
I'm kidding.
I had forgotten that he went to UNLV, but he absolutely did.
Yeah. And then, this team's loaded up with talent. If they weren't going against Boise State last year, they could have easily been in this.
Dude, they could have been in the playoff.
No doubt. So, Marcel McDuffie, great linebacker. Running back. Jaden Thomas is back. So, they're pretty much – I like this team. Secondary is stacked. Mm-hmm. This is just a full-on nasty secondary. They got to battle Boise State, which we haven't talked about yet, and I'm sure they're on our list. But – that's going to be their season right there. And they open, I believe, as 25-point favorites in week one.
They got a lot of namers like Jaden Thomas and La Terrence Welch.
And Alex Orji.
And Denver Harris.
And they're also – Colorado State's a big game. That's at Colorado State.
Colorado State.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's going to be
another team with a lot of momentum now, right now.
Week three, they host UCLA.
Week two. Well, it's their second game.
Oh,
no, it's their.
I have.
Yeah.
I have
September 6th, UCLA.
I have them opening this weekend against Idaho State.
They do.
And then playing Sam Houston State on the 29th, Friday the 29th.
My schedule's way out of whack.
And then September 6th, they host UCLA. So that's their third game.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they play UCLA and Boise State are their tough games.
Okay, I don't have week zero listed on here.
Oh,
so that's
the Idaho State game.
Yeah, I
got
you.
They're probably favored by a million.
Yeah, UCLA is going to be bad again. So I don't look, man, the fans don't even go to their own stadium. They're not going to Las Vegas.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
UNLV is going to be fun to watch, fun to keep up with, especially what they did last year moving into now.
Well, the thing about like UCLA fans going to Las Vegas is it's not like if Indiana, just for instance, was playing at UNLV, you might get a large contingent of Indiana fans because we live halfway across the country. It's a great excuse. Hell, you can drive there in 2.5 hours from Los Angeles if you really want to go to Las Vegas.
I mean, they're not allowed to sports game on California, so all their fans are going to be sitting in the casinos anyway. So, yeah, I don't know.
I see them getting 10 wins here.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Nine or 10. I see them getting 10.
Yeah, I mean, as I look at their schedule, I'll just go through it real quick. They host Idaho State. They play Sam Houston. They host UCLA. Then they're at Miami of Ohio.
That's a tough one.
Which is always difficult.
Always tough.
Then they go to Wyoming.
They're still down.
Then they play Air Force. I don't know if Air Force
you
is
You never
any
know
good.
With
Air
Force. Air
Force
you hate playing
always
them.
A tough game.
But, you always hate playing any of the service
Right, and Air
man.
Force is tough. Air Force has a tough team.
And they play, you know, they run that the old flex bone. And then they're on the road at Boise State, the game you guys were talking about. Then they host New Mexico, at Colorado State, host Utah State, host Hawaii, and then they close out, I guess, their in-state rival at Nevada.
I think Nevada's still struggling. They were bad last year, and I think they're going to be struggling again this year. I like this UNLV team. I think they're one of my probably top two favorites to make the playoff.
I'm with you. Yes.
Yeah.
And you were right. They were exceedingly close to making it last season, and as the schedule sets up, it appears they should be at least right there as one of the heavy favorites. Next team on the list.
Is that me?
Frederick?
Well, I'm still saving one for you, Tuna, but I have to go with this one. I'm going with the Naval Midshipmen.
Yeah, I got them too.
The Naval Midshipmen. This year, and Army was kind of the darling. Well, both of them weren't they both 6-0 at one point in time? We knew there was going to be a battle there for the Army Navy game that we could not wait for. And sure enough, when they got there against each other, Navy ended up kind of slapping them in the mouth a little bit.
Well, and it was one of the best Army teams of the last 20 years,
right.
And then Navy hammered them. I think it was like 31-13
right,
or something.
And Army went on to even win their bowl game after that, which was impressive after what Navy did. And Navy, on top of that, went to win their bowl game over
Oklahoma
that's who,
right.
Yes, was a struggling team, we know. But if you beat Oklahoma with the way they travel and stuff in a bowl game, and they travel whether they're no matter if they have a 6-game season or not, that was still not an easy game to win. And I think I think Navy brings back Blake Horvath. I mean, dude,
well, he's back.
Blake Horvath's back. I just like their schedule. VMI, UAB at home. They do have Air Force and Army. Yes. And those are going to be tough games. Like Tuna said, anytime you're playing, those guys,
they do get Air Force in their own building,
right? But their fullback Tezka and Horvath. I mean, Horvath is a passing quarterback. He does it all. I was looking at his numbers. 13 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions, 17 rushing. You know how, and I love Navy's coach. Mm-hmm. He is a solid foundation. Navy has been doing well, moving up. They've got a good offensive line, a couple all-conference guys, Ben Purvis. I don't know. I'm kind of pumped up for Navy to see what they can do. What else you got, Tuna?
Look, if you look at Navy last year, going into the season, it was a complete rebuild, right? Like, on paper, they should have been one of the worst teams. There's a bunch of young guys coming in. Like, we know that you have to play in that kind of system for a while.
Was last season their new coach's first
yes.
year?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I thought.
And then, so Brian Newberry comes in
yes.
and just shocks the world.
Yeah.
He's got these guys playing. And then you look at year two under him, continuity. Like, this team is back. Like, you mentioned that backfield. You left out Eli Heidenreich. Stud.
Yeah.
Like, this backfield is loaded. They're going to do exactly what they did last year, but better this year because they've got one full year of experience and played in big games. So Navy is definitely a playoff contender, and I want more than anything to see a Service Academy team
yes.
into the playoffs.
And for me specifically, I would love it to be Navy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I told you guys, I got to go to a game at the Naval Academy. Like, gosh, it's been, I guess, about a little over a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you would, and I still want to go to a game at Army for sure. But everything that you think that going to a game at a Service Academy would be is what it was. Mm-hmm. It was without a doubt the best road, like going on the road type of scenario, to the point that in the middle of the fourth quarter, I turned around to one of the people I was with and said, I honestly don't care if Indiana wins this game or not. Like, this has been so cool. I don't really care. And a part of me was like, I kind of want Navy to win because I want to see them do
celebrate and all that. Yeah.
Do the alma mater and all that, which they did. And I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Navy ever since. You guys remember, well, Tuna, you're too young. Fred, you might remember him. Do you remember their...
Napoleon McCallum?
Yeah, it's him.
Running back.
Yeah.
Heisman Trophy candidate. Cover Sports Illustrated.
See, Indiana had a rivalry, or not a rivalry, but a they played Navy several years in the 80s and then brought it back in the mid, like when Kevin Wilson was
right,
there.
Right.
So I got to see Napoleon McCallum play
wow, cool.
live, and my dad was all about the service academies and everything. And I've always had a soft spot in my heart for them. So I'm with you, Tuna. If any of these service academies could get in the playoff, would be absolutely beautiful for me, and I think college football fans would love that. And I would love to see one of the big boys have to prepare for the crazy wishbone, flex bone, whatever they're going to run.
Yeah, I'd love to see Kirby Smart whine about that all week leading up to that game.
Now, they do have some tough games here. I mean, at North Texas is never easy. Notre Dame and Memphis, I mean, those are three games. You know, I don't have them as my top three or four. They're further down because those are games that are going to be tough. I mean, but I don't see them beating Notre Dame.
I think, to Tuna's point, a loss to Notre Dame doesn't
right.
really hurt you,
I don't,
right?
I don't see them beating Memphis either.
No, but you know, you're looking at VMI, UAB. What is the other one? Non-conference Notre Dame. Yeah, I just
Washington
they avoid
State.
They avoid Tulane. So I would say like South Florida, Memphis, North Texas, and Army are like your big key
right,
games there.
Right.
So yeah, losing to Notre Dame is not going to do it, and they're going to play Notre Dame close. So.
Right.
They
right.
always kind of do.
They always
like,
do.
Except for last year.
Well, that's
except
six.
For last year.
Yeah, that's
last
six,
year.
Right?
Huh?
Is that six in the books?
I believe it
that's
is.
Six.
Tuna, your next team.
Well, I've got two more left because I didn't have.
Not right. Freddy's. I got you. Yeah, there's two.
But right, we're going to go on and get this.
You got to let me guess one of them. Let's get this one out of the way, and then I'll guess the next one.
Okay. We're going to go with Boise State.
Of course.
We know they're going to be there. Ellen DeGeneres is back quarterbacking for them. He played really well last year. Ellen DeGeneres. Max Madsen, who is an excellent doppelganger for the talk show host.
Okay.
No, Boise State, man, they are stacked. They've got, you know, this team is loaded back up from last year. I know you're saying, well, Ashton Gentry's gone. Well, Sire Gaines is there.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is a red shirt freshman that really showed flashes. Yeah. So I like this. They're going to continue to lean on the run. Malik Sherrod is back in that backfield, who was very good. He just didn't get the recognition because of, of course, Ashton Gentry.
Having a Heisman Trophy guy.
He's going out averaging 8.5 yards per carry. So, no, this is a big team. Ty Benningfield's back at safety. I like Boise State. We're going to get exactly what we got from them last year without the Ashton Gentry. But it's going to – I think the production's going to be the same. There's just going to be multiple guys as opposed to one.
Right,
it's going to be
right.
A committee in the backfield. But, you know, Madsen actually really impressed me. You look at this guy and you're like, there's no way he can play quarterback. And, man, he was gritty. He was tough. He made some sharp third down throws when he had to. He kept moving the chains when it was asked of him. And I do. I really like this Boise State team
to
crack
in
there.
They're a little thin at wide receiver this year.
Yeah.
But
that's their weak spot.
But that's it. That is their weak spot. But
and luckily, that's one of the easiest places to reboot at.
Yeah. And I have them kind of tied with James Madison as my number one team to make the playoff. Shocker.
So I've got UNLV over them.
But you got UNLV over them. Okay.
I got them taking the Mountain West.
So they play like a tough game. They have South Florida.
Is it weird
that they
start the season at South Florida? Is that weird?
Well, I mean, like, because it's a conference game?
Yeah.
It's not a conference game. They're Mountain West.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then, you know, a lot of teams open with conference games. Well, we got them blanking right now. But, yeah, Farmageddon is Kansas State and Iowa State.
Boise plays at South Florida on a Thursday night, the 28th at 5:30.
Hell yeah.
I mean, get home from work.
Love that.
Fire up the color teeny.
Love that.
And let's go.
This was a this was something that Tom Jurek did when he was at Louisville. He's like, we'll play any night of the week at any time. We just want to be standalone games because people are going to watch football.
That's right.
And there's a lot of kids sitting there watching these games because it's the only thing on TV. And then they start learning about that team, and then you become on the radar.
Yep.
So I love this.
Yeah, that's awesome. And
not
then,
that Boise State needs to be on the radar. I think they've kind of built it themselves. But South Florida definitely does.
And like Fred said, they do travel to Notre Dame first weekend in October. I mean, they play Appalachian State. Now that's what, 1, 2, 3, week 4, but that's a home game. They're going to be good, and their schedule would appear to set up, really nicely for them, and they have all that experience, whether, you know, a lot of the players have moved on, but a lot of those guys are still back from a team that was in the college football playoff last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so my position on them is they're my number one team.
Boise State?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the team that I think is going to make it.
I'm with you. That's what's going to make this UNLV-Boise State game such a big deal.
Yeah, that's October the 18th.
And it'll happen again in the Mountain West Championship, which I believe is in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it is.
So, those games, they're going to be great games to watch. But, yeah, Boise State's definitely there. So, Fred.
Fred is going to try to choose who you have left.
Okay. All right.
And there's not really that many around that I can go with. I think that I'm going to have to go with, and I have two other teams that I'm kind of thinking about, but I'm going to go with the team that I think you're going to choose, and that's Liberty.
No, I'm going with Army.
Okay. I had Army and Colorado State.
Yeah, Colorado State was kind of right there. I was looking at them, but they are unfortunately in there with UNLV and Boise State.
I just threw Liberty in there for Travis. I can't see them coming out of the Mountain West.
I had told Tuna, if anybody picks Liberty, we're canceling the podcast.
Now, Liberty went 10-2 last year. Yeah. I know they're small time. They're little.
Yeah.
But they are no slouch.
Mm-hmm. No, Army.
Yeah, Army, I mean, definitely. Yeah. You're right there. You know, Bryson Daly, we all love him. You know what I mean? It's this is, again, every reason we gushed about, they're going to be less talented than Navy. But if they can get into that game, you know, anything can happen in that game, and there's a chance they could be first place in there, which would be kind of wild to see, which we talked about this scenario happening last year.
We did.
Where they would play a conference championship game against each other
right
before they even played that game.
That's right.
So I want to see that happen just to see the chaos.
Yeah.
But again, this is a conference where I talked about how I left out Colorado State because they're in there with UNLV and Boise State.
Right.
Well, we got Army and Navy in here with Tulane and Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So one of these four teams could definitely get in. And I put Army to compete with these teams. It's all, you never know what you're going to get. With Army, we've seen what they did last year. I look for maybe a little bit more consistency this year. They started out of the gate on a tear last year, and I think depth just kind of caught up to them
right
as the year progressed.
Yep,
led the country in 32 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, so
boy, they—you'll know a little bit about them in week two. They travel to Kansas State.
Mm-hmm. I love that Kansas State scheduled this game.
Yeah, that's a bold scheduling
and
move.
It's when they're like they might be a little jet lagged from coming back from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So well, you said it's week two.
Yeah,
but I mean it's so you still have week one in between there.
Right,
it's the week
right,
zero.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So they should be fine by that.
Yeah, I like it. I think their offensive line is thin this year, but I do think that Kansas State, Tulane, Air Force, and Navy, all teams that they can beat.
Yeah, definitely.
So, good choice. I should have went Army on that instead of Liberty. But we were all pretty much all over those teams. I really think there's about three that probably really have a true chance.
Yeah.
And it probably is Navy, UNLV, Boise State. I mean, four.
Uh-huh.
Boise State, James Madison.
Yeah.
Right? When you
I have UNLV.
I said UNLV.
Okay.
Four teams.
Yeah.
Boise State, UNLV, James Madison, and Navy.
Mm-hmm. And Tulane. I think Tulane can do it.
Oh, no.
So
well, you're
five.
Right. There you go.
That's what
five
I'm saying.
True.
Yeah. Now, after these seven, I think there is a massive
major drop-off.
Unless there's some sort of like, you know, Cinderella type
right
thing that
the
we just don't know about. You know what I mean?
Time.
Which happens every year.
Sure.
And I think Colorado State is a team to look at.
They are.
And I didn't think we would talk a lot about the best of the rest, but there's some teams that we could just name out, Travis.
Yeah, please.
I think Colorado State is one of those teams. I also think that North Texas, they're small, but just another quality team that is a good team to bet on, that's going to have good wins, possibly fight to win their conference. Texas San Antonio. Another good one, North Texas. I think it's always good. They win their bowl game every year. They have a lot of wins gathered up the last 10 years. They have a great program. Who else pops out at you just for betting, more so tuna betting purposes?
Yeah, all those teams you just listed, I mean, like I'm seeing 8-4. You know what I mean? Yeah, possibly 9-3, 8-4 type teams.
Yeah, there's really no one else. But teams that I'm going to be betting on, South Alabama, I'm going to be betting on Marshall. I'm going to be betting on Texas State, as you said, who has a, you know, and I want you to look at, and I know we laugh about Liberty and everything, but they have a easy schedule this year. Last year they went 10-2. They'll probably do it again.
That's why I don't think they'll get in
they
there.
Remember, they were cracked the top 25 last year.
If you bet on Liberty,
I will
the
not.
The Lord is going to have a problem with that.
But
I think they got a lot of votes last year simply because Caden Salters was a well-known quarterback.
Right.
So they had a lot of AP eyes on them that garnered a lot of votes. Now whether or not they actually deserve to be up there is debatable.
Right, right. I'm going to have fun betting on Miami, Ohio. I'm going to have fun betting on Utah State, Ohio, Louisiana, East Carolina. Anyways, we can go through.
Are there any teams that
you're
not going to bet on?
Well, yes. Akron, Ball State, Charlotte, Georgia State, Kennesaw State, Kent State, UMass, Middle Tennessee, Rice, New Mexico, and New Mexico State. Do not bet them, but
that
bet
state
against
left
them.
To go play football somewhere else.
That is my list of horrible teams, and I will. You can go ahead and throw Washington State and Oregon State in there,
yeah,
if you want to. The Pac-2,
big trouble in Beavertown.
I don't think that any of those teams are good. Like Tuna said, Nevada, they're not good either. I'm telling you, if you want to remember those names, if you want to cover against a team, anyways.
We'll let the ball get kicked off and get some eyes on some of these guys before we write too many of these guys off.
Don't forget who's at Utah State. Old Mendenhall out there, baby.
That's right.
Yeah. I love betting on Utah State in the late game.
So before we move on, do either you guys have any other group of five teams you wanted to touch on before we move into this weekend's? I can't believe I'm saying it. This weekend's slate of football games.
No, Freddie just named them all.
I think you did.
That proves what a gambling maniac.
All right. Well, let's go into these week zero games. Starting this Saturday. What are we? Today's Sunday. Really, the marquee game of the weekend, unfortunately, is a nooner on Saturday, which from a selfish standpoint, I would prefer it would be 7 o'clock so I can watch it out on the deck and have some cocktails or whatever. But
it's football season. You can have cocktails at noon.
Well, that's true.
It's one of the many reasons why we love football season.
And by the way, y'all knew who was coaching. You know, we didn't mention it, but I thought it was funny. He's coaching old Bowling Green State University.
Eddie George.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun.
Yeah, he's coming.
He's on a big billboard out there.
Four, I believe.
One of the all-time great guys of the NFL.
That's what I hear.
So this coming Saturday,
Iowa State,
Kansas State. This game is this in Dublin?
It is.
This game is in Dublin, Ireland. Kansas State opens as a 3-point favorite. 17th ranked. Of course, I guess these are the AP rankings. They're 17th. Iowa State is 22nd. I mean, that's a pretty good way to kick off college football.
No, it is. I love this game every year. I love, Kansas State. Iowa State, two of the most underappreciated fan bases in the sport. They love their stuff.
Can you imagine how much beer and Dublin is used to getting a lot of beer drank
last
there.
Year? They had Florida State and Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
And then the year before they had Notre Dame and Navy. So they've been doing this. This is the third year, I think, for this Dublin series.
Yeah.
So the Notre Dame fans absolutely crushed everything over there.
Yeah.
And then
I'm sure they did.
And I think Florida State fans, they partied, but they drank more afterwards because they lost to Georgia Tech. So that was, the beer consumed over there.
They're going to have to ship over 1,000 pallets of Busch Light, because I don't think they usually sell Busch Light in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to ship over 1,000 pallets for the Iowa State fans.
One of my favorite thing about European people is when they see, like, good-sized Americans, they are blown away. What we consider an average-sized American is, like, a humongous European, okay?
Darren Clark.
Like, I was walking around there just, like, owning everything. Like, yeah, you get these big dudes from Kansas and Iowa that grow up bench pressing cows and shit. Like, they're coming in hot.
I'm with you.
They're going to eat all the bangers and mash, probably more than
bangers
the beer drinking.
And mash.
Yeah, they're going to town over there. I can't wait to see. Ireland's going to be so confused about the sheer size of the middle Americans. and I can't wait for that. They're just going to think that everybody is a rugby player.
I mean, you all know where I stand on this game.
You're going with Iowa
100%.
State.
All the way.
Yeah, you're taking money line on that.
Take the points, baby. Take the points, money line, whatever.
All right. This spread opened up at 4.5. A lot of people are thinking like Fred and betting it down to 3. I like Chris Kleiman to have his team a little bit more ready early on. More so than Matt Campbell. I'm taking Kansas State to cover this 3 points. I may even take it down to 2.5 just to make me feel warm and fuzzy. But I'm definitely going to take Kansas State. And I believe the over-under here is
49.5.
49.5. I might take that over on that as well.
I'm all over the under.
Okay. So we are
well. That's
opposite.
Shocking.
Iowa State is one of my under teams all the last 2 years.
Early games.
That's what Matt Campbell's all about.
The defenses need more time to catch up to the offenses.
Maybe.
So I think the unders start happening.
But dude, the traveling
more.
And getting there, and think about how NFL teams play when they go overseas. It's a sluggish, slow game. Mm-hmm. It never turns. Maybe. One time recently, I remember there was a shootout. That's just my opinion, but I have noticed that those games tend to be a little sluggish, especially at the start.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but you're not going to get a blowout game like that.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout game.
Or not
but
a blowout, but a...
I could see both teams putting up 30 points
juggernaut.
In this game.
Oh, wow.
I can. It's going to be a fun bet to bet the over, but the serious bet that I really like is Kansas State to cover that 3. I think that 4.5, I still probably would have leaned on K-State. I went into this handicapping this game, and I was like, I want Iowa State. I want Iowa State. I got an Iowa State shirt. I was ready to wear it and cheer for Iowa State. I got one on during basketball season 2 years ago.
I picked Iowa.
They were my de facto basketball team.
And you all know I had Iowa State to win the Big 12. I have Iowa State to win the Big 12. So I'm, I'm stuck on them and with them.
No, didn't we all take Texas Tech?
Huh?
I didn't. Colin took Texas Tech with me.
I took Iowa State 100%.
Okay.
Iowa State.
Yeah. I'm taking the Wildcats to come out of this one.
Our first big disagreement.
I love it.
Tuna and Fred.
We have
the over under as well.
Yeah. I love that. UNLV, a team that we talked about, opens the season at 4:00. Against Idaho State, they're 25.5-point favorite.
Take the potatoes.
Really not a lot.
No, that's going to be
Fred,
ugly.
Fred, guess what the over-under is in the UNLV-Idaho State game?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to say 42.
62.5.
Oh, my Lord.
62.5. I mean,
okay.
UNLV's favored by 25 points.
UNLV's
so
probably going to put like 60 up
so
themselves.
So you're thinking, they're thinking it's going to be like a 58-10 type of ball game.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to see. Yeah. They're going to work out their quarterback situation in this game. Yeah. I think Orgy and what's his name? Kara. Catalon.
Yeah.
But they'll work it out.
We know this is a blowout city.
Then at 6:30 on Fox, has a potential to be an interesting ball game. Fresno State plays Kansas. Kansas is a 12.5 point favorite. The over-under is at 50.5. Do you guys have any thoughts about this ball game?
Yeah, I think Fresno State's down.
Okay.
This isn't a good Fresno team. Kansas, I mean, like I said, I'm not big on Lance Leopold. You guys are. I've been burned by him so many times.
And what's the spread?
I'm not even going to bet this
game. I don't like this
It's 12
game.
And a half. I'm just
like
going to act like that game's not even happening because there's another game that I want to watch around the same time.
Right, but I'm with you. I don't like this game, but if I had to bet, if I put it in a parlay, I would take Kansas in this game. I do think I looked at Fresno State this year. They looked down. I'm not saying Kansas is that good, though, either.
I'm not either. I hate the 12.5 point
I just don't
number.
Like the game. I don't like the over-under, nothing.
I'm going to assume that the game that you're speaking of, Tuna, that's around the same time, is the Western Kentucky-Sam Houston State ball game?
That is correct.
Yeah.
We have the other team with the moniker, the Bearcats. Do we even know what a Bearcat is?
Bearcat.
Is it an actual real animal?
Yeah, I think it's like a bobcat.
No.
Right?
No. Bobcat's just a cat. A bear cat.
Like a bobcat, like a wild
bobcat.
Like
it's nothing like that.
Like a wildcat.
I'm going to look that up. But wildcat's nothing like a bear cat.
No, a bobcat.
And that's what I'm saying. A bobcat's nothing like a bear cat.
So Cincinnati and Sam Houston State are the Bearcats.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I bet on Sam Houston State last year a few times. They are a respected team.
It's not a football program. It's neither a bear nor a cat.
Yeah.
It belongs to the civet and mongoose family.
Oh, well, there you go.
Mongooses are mean.
They're in Southeast Asia.
Yes, they are only in Southeast Asia. Apparently.
What a weird thing to name
your team.
And
you don't say mongooses as plural. It's mongoose.
Mongoose.
Mongoose are mean.
Mongoose.
Tuna, here's a picture of one.
Yeah, see?
Like a real one.
Yeah, that's a stupid animal.
You really hate Cincinnati, don't you?
No, I love them. They gave us money to take Scott Satterfield away.
I do think Satterfield's going to have a better year than you think he is. But
but
you do pile on them and Joe Burrow and the whole crew. I want to take old
it's that
Tuna to
it's the city
sometime.
More so really than anything.
The Queen City you think is dirty.
Maybe it's all those like heated rivalries during the steamboat race that made me hate Cincinnati.
The great steamboat Delta Queen.
I hope it sinks. look. Sam Houston's gonna be tough.
They're a tough program.
This is a 10-point spread. I'd be lying, Luke. Like, you try to dig in. You can't handicap this game.
No.
Anybody that says they can handicap this game, they're lying. There's just no way.
Give me an outlook on Western because I have not dug too much into them, even though I'm wearing their T-shirt.
I got my notes up here.
I know that they're supposed to battle for the Sun Belt. I know they're one of the top four or five teams.
Yeah, I've got to listen. This is supposed to be a rebuild for Western Kentucky, but they're still a top-tier team.
Sure.
But the thing is, there's so many new names and faces on this team.
I
just don't know. It's tough for me to really dig into this.
I have been told by a source relatively close to the program that their quarterback has been lights out in camp, the best that this particular person has seen, and that includes podcast favorite Velt Camp from the last couple of seasons.
Good deal. Yeah, I know their top four pass catchers are gone. I know they got new guys coming in. It's just tough for me to look at this team and be like, they're going to beat Sam Houston by 10 points.
Right, and that's another game that has a 60.5-point over-under, which is...
Yeah.
And that's like the other thing.
After I win money on the Kansas State spread and over, I might sprinkle a little on the over in this game just to be fun. You know what I mean? But nothing big, nothing serious. If you're betting serious money on this game, then you are a crazy person.
Well, one thing I do want to say is Sam Houston State, who had a good year last year, lost their head coach. Mm-hmm. He moved on to greener pastures. And having a new coach, Phil Longo, who's come in, I can't – and I lost my last game last year on Sam Houston State in their bowl game. They totally disappointed me. I'm going all Western here.
All right.
Yes, I'm going all Western here on experience of a program. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think we need to really break this game down much more than that.
No, we do not need to.
The other game of interest, of at least slight interest that night, is Stanford and Hawaii. The game is at Hawaii. Timmy Chang,
I got something to say here,
comes back. They are favored by 2.5 points. Against the Cardinal.
All right, now I bet on Hawaii a few times last year as them, when every time they were at home.
That's called chasing at the 11 o'clock kickoff.
That's right,
2 a.m.
That's right.
It's the only reason people ever watch Hawaii play football.
And who don't love Timmy Chang, dude?
That's
I love
right.
Timmy
of
Chang.
Course.
Always have, always will. I love his brother, who was a great tennis player, Michael Chang. And I think their cousin is a poker player, if I'm not mistaken.
Michael Chang is Timmy Chang's brother?
I thought someone told me that last year.
You keep talking. I'm going to look that
up. Yeah, look that
up. I've never heard that.
I'm not kidding. Someone that is a tennis maniac actually told me when we were talking old tennis players, and I brought up Timmy Chang, and he told me that the coach in Hawaii, it wasn't the other way around. That's why I believed him. Anyways, I like Hawaii here, a team that is getting better and better, a team that is improving, a team that plays great at home. I'm going Hawaii on this, Jim.
Okay. I'm not betting this game again. I'm going to watch it just because it's football.
Well, they're in my parlay. I'm putting this in my parlay.
And, I don't know. I can watch that and hope that
take the points.
My team's not going to be near as bad as either of these two teams.
Be a Rainbow Warrior and take the points. I think Hawaii has a chance to go to a bowl game.
No faith in Frank Reich to get a coaching win in his first college game?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I have zero faith in that. And Fred, for the record, Michael Chang and Timmy Chang are not related.
They're not related.
No.
Okay.
So that pretty much gets us caught up for ostensibly week zero, our group of five. Now, one team that we did not mention, although from teams that are playing them, is Notre Dame.
Right. We got to talk
now,
about this.
Everybody, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about Notre Dame, but we do at least need to mention them.
I think we should spend at least 5 minutes. They got a chance to win the national championship.
Right, which is what I'm about to let you guys do. So,
you two can talk about Notre Dame.
You all don't like Notre Dame, do you?
I'm boycotting Notre Dame. To me, I'm acting like they don't exist until they join a conference.
Okay.
I would like to see every athletic director get on board with me and do that, and we would need the commissioner of the ACC to do that first because we are locked into where they have to play five ACC teams. I want that schedule to dwindle down to where their only non-conference games are Army, or their only tough notable games are Army, Navy, and USC. I want them to have to scratch and claw and schedule the two lanes who won't be getting scheduled anymore.
Right. So, Fred.
I mean,
the floor is yours for Notre Dame.
I agree 100% with Tuna. I can't scrap them. I mean, I I know where you're coming from, but I do. I respect their coach a lot. I think he's doing great things there. I think Notre Dame is a very dangerous team. With new DC, Chris Ash. I just think that they bring back a lot of great pieces.
Chris Ash has been fired from every job he's ever been. He was a scout for Jacksonville last year.
Okay. I don't think that's going to hurt them. I really don't. I think they bring back too many key pieces. Jeremiah Love, running back. They've got an all-American corner. They got some great linebackers. I'm not sure who the quarterback's going to be. But, I mean, guys, y'all don't think Notre Dame is going to go. I mean, I'll tell you another thing. You can say what you want, and we will disagree to disagree. But they're not doing what we want them to do, but I think they have a tough schedule. I mean, they're playing Arkansas. Not in our top team, but always a tough SEC school to play. They play Boise State, who's in the top three of our list, or top five to possibly make the playoff. They were in it last year. Texas A&M. I mean, Tuna, you and I are very high on them. I made a future bet for them to win the SEC.
You're absolutely proving my point.
I know
here
I
by
am.
Naming these
That's
teams
what
off.
I'm saying. Miami, they play Miami. I get it.
That's an ACC that they had to schedule.
Right, they
so
had to
they,
schedule.
They do five ACC teams a year, and I hate that.
Right, but that is still a tough team that they have to play. Ohio State, they have to play Navy. They go play, what's his name over at Syracuse? Pitt, whatever. I get it. There's your ACC.
Stanford.
But, dude, I mean, Ohio State, Texas A&M, Miami, Boise State, Navy are tough games for anybody to have to play. I agree with where Tuna's totally coming from. I get it. And they need to do it. I don't understand why it hasn't happened yet. Maybe
because
that's
they
what we
make
need
a
to talk
boatload
about.
Of money from NBC, and they
yeah.
don't have to
and
share
they
it
have
with
for
anybody.
Years.
And they go to the playoff. They don't share it with the conferences.
Right. They don't so, play Ohio State.
Or no, I said oh, I meant Clemson. Clemson. Yeah.
No, the Clemson's dumbass has signed a 12-year deal with them. The yeah. thing is, if teams stop scheduling them and they couldn't play anybody, that money dries up from NBC. Like, Notre Dame fans are still going to watch
How
those games.
How long has that contract been with
they
them?
They just re-upped it.
Oh, they my did God. Re-up since, it not like 2 years ago.
Since the 80s, right?
Right, like but the they. Late 80s? But I'm talking about re-upped yeah, it. They just yeah. not like 2 years ago?
No, it's like the only way to get them to where they won't make any money is if they're playing the scrubs of the world everywhere.
And who do you think they – where should they go? Like, what conference?
I don't care
think?
Where they go. Get in a conference, and I'll talk about you.
Okay, I would think that they would probably lean towards the Big Ten.
I would think every conference out there would love to have them. And the Big Ten, they already got expansion plans where they're trying to take, the Montreal Alouettes in. Hell, they're taking anybody.
So it's the smug money and so, the
– Send them to the – I mean, they should be in the ACC.
No, I mean –
That's what they should be.
We've
they
kissed their ass
ACC,
for so long.
I get it. I
don't.
They
I
should
know.
Be in the ACC. I mean, after last year, I have no desire for Indiana to ever play them again.
Yeah, I think their natural fit is the Big Ten. I mean, they get that Michigan and Michigan State rivalry.
It is.
Back.
I mean, they yeah. used to play those guys all mm-hmm. the time.
The Michigan Notre Dame game. It was like always like the third week
yeah,
of the season.
Yeah, and that
was
a huge
and it
deal.
Was a monster.
That was a huge deal.
Yep.
Well, that gets us about to the end of our group of five program tonight and our preview of week zero. We've gone about almost an hour and a half, but we do have time as we are once again finally at evening time in the downstairs pub. I'm going to go ahead and call last call and start with Tuna.
All right. I've got a new obsession, and I think it's unhealthy, but I can't help it. So earlier this week,
to hear this.
A few days ago, there was a tweet put out by Big Cat from Barstool Sports.
Big Cat.
It was these two older German ladies, and they were pushing the cart
I watched this.
Down, and it would go into the cart corral, and they would get scored whether it hit the sides, if it went all the way to the back, all this. So I couldn't just leave it at that. So I started digging in, and what I've discovered is maybe the greatest YouTube channel on earth, and it's called Schlagdenstar. You're not going to understand anything they're saying, but it's like a competition, like 1v1, okay? You got two contestants, and they compete in random games throughout the show. I don't really know what's going on, but the random games are great. Like, they'll do blow dart guns on darts. Like, so they're playing a game of darts with blow dart guns. The shopping carts was one of the things. They'll have
Ocho stuff.
Like, yeah, anything you could think of for the Ocho, they've got something like that here.
Nice.
They'll have like these platforms set up with like a bowling pin at each one, and they're about 10 feet apart from each other in a straight line. And they're taking this ball on a rope and just dropping it and trying to get it to knock down as many pins. And it's just, I mean, it's the best thing I've ever seen. You never
especially
know.
Especially if you're drinking a Hefeweizen.
And each episode's completely different. Like, you don't know what you're going to get. So I'm about, I don't know, 7 episodes into this, and I'm just going to continue to watch everything until they keep going. But,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love
it. So that's what I got.
All right, Freddie.
Well, I just wanted to give, I got two things here. I wanted to give, Bama Nation drink. Wanted to give Bama Nation 3 names they haven't heard of this year yet that they're going to hear as the season goes by. And hopefully a successful season of making the playoff this year. I want to name 3 names. I'm going to do it quick. Wide receiver Rico Suave Scott. Keep an eye on him. He is making big things happen in camp. Red Morgan, one of my favorite players who plays the safety position, who will be fully healthy this year and get back on the field. And 6'4 Frosh corner Honey Dijon Lee. You will be hearing about him, folks. He is the next Minka Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to throw out a couple bets, Travis, that I made just in case anyone's wanting, because now obviously once these games start, your overs and unders of your future futures on your team record.
This is a style of betting that I'll never understand.
Right, but it's fun for me. I like to look
at
it at the end of the year.
But the odds are so shifty.
They are.
And you're tying your money up for like 3 months.
I'm not putting a lot of money on.
Yeah.
I'm doing it
like,
for fun.
If you look at it on like DraftKings, you're looking at like the over totals at like minus 160 odds. And I'm like, I'm not going to bet.
No, but the ones I'm going through are pretty much even. You're not giving money away. You're not giving money away. And I'm going to throw 3 of them out there for anyone that wants to have fun with Fred. That is, I'm taking Iowa State over 7.5 games. That's an 8-game winning season. Missouri to go over 6.5 with a 7-win season. TCU over 6.5 with a 7-win season. I'm going to go 3 unders. I'm going to go Virginia, 6.5. I don't think they're going to win 7 games. I'm going with Oregon, 10.5. I don't think they're going to win 11 games. And I hate to say it, Colin, but I'm not quite sure if Indiana can get to 9. I might go 8.5 on that. On the under. Oh, my gosh. I can't. I just put that in there for Colin.
One you didn't mention was Oklahoma State at 4.5.
I knew you liked that one. No, I did that
for
Colin.
If I was
going
to bet one of
Travis,
these, I would take the over
on that one. I told Colin when we were texting, I was like, I didn't get Colin fired up on the show tonight.
Well, the last thing he needs is more fuel to get him fired up.
Hey, I pumped up his Giants all last night, Manny. I thought he was – I know he has to be excited that I said his Giant. You know, that's an NFL bet I made, over 5.5 wins. I think the Giants are going to get 6 or better this year.
We're going to get into the NFL here in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, We're going to keep pushing forward on college football. Really, next week's show will be all about breaking down week one, the full slate, the real first full slate of games. Tonight was a lot of fun. We have basically covered everybody you would want to hear about in college football over the last several weeks. If you have enjoyed this and you know someone who is a college football fan, please let them know where they can find our show. For the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.